Good evening.
Good evening.
Tonight's scripture is Matthew 26, 17 through 30. On the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "I'll tell you the truth. One of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, "Surely not I, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "Yes, it is you." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I'll tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Bless the reading and hearing of this scripture.
Thank you, Paul, for volunteering at the last second there. Appreciate it. There are many differences in the body of Christ about how the Lord's Supper should be served and even what it means. Priscilla Larson's brother-in-law serves as a pastor in a denomination like ours, usually does not use wine, but uses grape juice. And of course, being a Protestant denomination, they do not believe that the wine and the bread actually transform into the body and blood of Jesus. One day, Priscilla Larson's brother-in-law responded to a Red Cross appeal for a blood donation. When he didn't come home by the time the young son expected him to come, the boy asked his mother, "Dad, is Dad going around visiting all the sick people?" And his mother replied, "He's giving blood." The little boy thought for a moment and said, "But we all know that it's really grape juice, don't we?" You gotta think on that one for a second. His confusion is both charming and quite natural. The Lord's Supper is an event unique to the Christian community and is poorly understood by many people. "This is my body, this is my blood." No wonder the early Christians were viewed with suspicion by their neighbors. Think about it. You're eating your founder's flesh and drinking his blood. Taken literally, this would be cause for alarm, and it was alarming to those on the outside looking in. Lord's Supper is still a deep mystery to the casual observer. How should we understand this uniquely Christian ceremony? What does it mean to us? You know, of course, that the Lord's Supper is related to the Jewish celebration of Passover. In that sense, it is not entirely unique. There are many differences between the two, but they are related to one another. David Howick tells about a Jewish man named Moshe Rosen, who was converted to faith in Jesus Christ as his Messiah. And he went to a Baptist church for his first communion service on a Sunday. Since he had never taken it, he thought maybe, well, they had told him that it's like the Passover. And Moshe got all excited because Passover was a big deal and they would have a big feast at this time. So at the very beginning of the service, the deacons in their church, the deacons passed out chunks of bread, very tiny chunks. Then a thimble filled with juice came around. Moshe's stomach was growling, but no food was in sight. So he was wondering what in the world is going on. And service ended, and he was very disappointed. Communion was nothing in his mind like Passover at all. And on the service, there are profound differences, but that does not mean that they are not related. When Jesus celebrated the Last Supper with his disciples, it was probably a complete Passover meal that they ate together. And it was clear that Christ intended this celebration to be a continuation of that sacred event. So let me refresh you about the Passover, though most of you probably know about it. It's familiar territory. The children of Israel have resided in Israel for 430 years. Their situation had slowly deteriorated from the time of Joseph, and they had now become slaves. But God sent a man named Moses to liberate them. There stood Moses in front of Pharaoh, saying, "Let my people go." But Pharaoh's heart, as we know, was hardened. Then God sent 10 plagues, the water of the Nile changed to blood. There were plagues of frogs and gnats and flies. Then all the livestock of the Egyptians began dying. Then there were boils and hail and locusts and darkness. And then all the other options were exhausted. God took the firstborn males of all the Egyptians. And how many males here are firstborn like I am? Don't be afraid to raise your hand. You're not going to die. There's several of us here. And that would greatly cut in to our congregation if that happens. You can imagine what it was like for the whole population of the Egyptians. You can see what impact that would have on the community. The firstborn sons of the Egyptians were taken, but the firstborn sons of the Israelites were spared. How were they spared? The blood of a sacrificial lamb was smeared over the doors of their homes, and the blood of the lamb became central to the celebration of the Passover. And it was central to the celebration of the Lord's Supper. What did John the Baptist say when he introduced Jesus to his followers? "Behold, the Lamb of God, come to take away the sins of the world." Many people today are offended by the so-called blood theology, and they don't even want to sing any songs about blood. But it is rooted in the Old Testament concept of a lamb that was slain from the foundations of the world to provide protection and salvation for the people of God. This is to say that this is a Christ-centered event. The sacrament is a reminder to us that we are not merely a social club. Neither are we primarily a service organization. We're those who have been redeemed by the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There was a married couple who had a very good marriage and they had a beautiful young daughter. But the daughter was killed. And this seemed to destroy the happiness, as you can imagine, within the home. And their hearts were grieved, and like many couples who experienced this kind of tragedy, this was a severe strain on their marital relationship. As time passed, the husband and wife grew apart. Their love for each other just wasn't the same anymore since their little daughter was killed. And finally, their love just turned cold, just very icy cold. A bitter hatred even came between the two. And finally, they agreed to separate and to divorce. And as they were in their home one day, going over the various items to separate, who would take this and who would take that, what they had accumulated during their marriage, they got tired and they sat down for a moment. And their eyes fell upon a pair of little red shoes which belonged to their little daughter. This reminder of this precious daughter began to soften their hearts. And before long, they were weeping together in tenderness. God used those little red shoes to put their relationship back together and see the mistake that they were about to make. Their marriage was saved. That little reminder, those little red shoes, seemed to be the turning point in their lives. The bread and the cup which we take the bread and the cup from which we take this night, in a sense, are our little red shoes. They remind us of the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. We are those who acknowledge that we are sinners saved by the grace of God poured out in Jesus Christ. The Lord's Supper is connected to the Passover. It is a reminder to us of the Lamb that was slain from the foundations of the earth. As such, it is ultimately a Christ-centered event, but it also reminds us of our connection to one another. This is, when we take communion, a family celebration. Communion is not really meant to be taken alone. The Lord's Supper is best understood as a communal event, a celebration by the whole community of saints. The very word communion refers not only to our individual relationship with God, but also our relationship with those with whom we worship. We are a family. We are a bit dysfunctional at times, as all families can be, but we are joined together by the body of Christ. Dr. Paul Brand tells about an Arabic Baptist church in Israel that had a very unique way of celebrating the Lord's Supper. When they came together, each member would bring, that night when they came in, a handful of wheat grains, and they would put it in a basket when they entered the church. And when they all came together for the worship, some of the members would sneak out, or not sneak out, but they would go to the kitchen, grind up those grains, and, excuse me, grind up the wheat like in a stone mill, mix it with water and salt, and knead the flour into a loaf. And then it's put into an already heated oven. By the time the service is ready for the communion, the loaf is ready. And each member breaks off, when it comes around, their portion of that loaf. He or she is sharing grains of flour from each member of the church, a sense of community. When asked why they do this, one member replied, "As individual seeds, we're each alone and separated from each other. Only when we are broken into flour and baked together can we experience full fellowship." The small church has discovered a very unique way of celebrating the Lord's Supper, and an understanding that I think we need to make sure we understand as the body of Christ here at Glenshaw Valley. This means that the culture inside these walls is different from the culture outside of these walls in the world. Competition always needs to be replaced by cooperation. Looking out for number one is replaced by loving God and loving our neighbor and our church family. And we are a family, the family of Christ. The blood of the Lamb has been spread over our door. It is the perfect Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We have gathered this evening to feast on Him, not as strangers, but as family. And thus we take the bread and the cup. So let the feast begin.